Welcome to Manager Tools. This week, giving feedback to remote directs, part three. The questions this cast answers are, how do I give feedback to my remote directs? Is feedback different when it's remote? And can I give feedback in writing when my directs are remote?
Hey folks, it's Mark here. We've got a bunch of public conferences coming up. Thought I'd let you know about them. We're in Washington, D.C., the 12th, 13th, and 14th of July. We also have a virtual Effective Manager Conference starting on the 12th, but the DC dates are EMC, ECC, and Effective Hiring Manager Conference. Then we're in Denver, the 26th and 27th of July. We're in Silicon Valley on 2 and 3 August, Atlanta, Georgia, 9 and 10 August, Boston, Mass, 16 and 17 August, and Los Angeles on the 30th and 31st of August. That's the next 2 months worth of conferences.
We've been talking about this so deeply that this will come as no surprise. It's an undertone of our conversation. Feedback is best when it's positive. This is different than saying positive because it's about the future. Mm-hmm. In fact, feedback works best when it is positive feedback.
Yeah.
Managers are entirely too focused on negative, right? It's so funny because the questions we get from people in events is so clearly on negative, right? They ask a question, it's like, but you've made an assumption there. Your base assumption is about it being negative. Mm-hmm. We, as managers, want to try to fix with, you know, air quotes, our directs. Mm-hmm. We don't want the hassle of dealing with problems. We want that silver bullet that we talked about last time. And all the data show that positive feedback is way more powerful than negative feedback. We actually followed a group of high-performing managers for a number of years when we first started teaching the present version of the feedback model, and they averaged 9 bits of positive feedback for every 1 negative. And y'all, if you've ever gotten a compliment, for example, that really, really resonated with you and that is still with you, you know, today, I remember once when I was learning to drive, my dad like complimented me on the way I changed lanes.
Oh.
Yeah. And for some reason, just, I don't know, some of those stick with you. I think people have trouble internalizing compliments. But if you've ever had that experience and there's one or two compliments that just like really stick with you, almost every time I change lanes, I think, gosh, I'm good at this, which is ridiculous. God,
such a good lane changer.
It's like so silly. And it's the same thing with the travel. Like when you book me exit row aisle, like those things stick with people. And
those moments are impactful.
Absolutely.
It means then every time from now until the rest of their life, when they change lanes, they're going to think about that positive thing.
Exactly. And now until forever, when your travel gets booked, it's going to be exit row aisle. And I bring it up because obviously changing lanes is not work related. However, I think that example of a compliment that stuck with you for years and years might resonate with other people.
Yeah.
And remember that positive is more powerful. And in a remote situation, it's no different from being co-located. We look for positives.
Exactly. At some point.
Remember that lower bar for what we consider worthy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then at some point, you'll have given so much positive feedback, your directs have become comfortable with the model.
Right.
And they'll start asking for negative.
Yeah, exactly.
And isn't that a world you want to live in?
Right.
People know all the things that they're doing right. And then, of course, are open to and asking for the next level of please more and more about how to be better.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It sounds like a good world. I would go so far as to say, when you start giving a lot of positive feedback and don't hold yourself accountable for initially, I'm going to say, the delivery of negative feedback, that communication alone creates a situation or a world for you as a manager where the delivery of negative feedback becomes less necessary. To tie it back to an idea that we were talking about earlier, an example, Kate, about the handing in of timesheets. If there are 30 minutes left in the day And your director's like, oh my gosh. And they're struggling. How am I going to get all this stuff done? I got to finish up all these things. Okay, I can only do one more thing. What are they going to do? The timesheet.
Because they've heard that you value it so much.
They know that you appreciate the timesheets. The timesheets you've mentioned are something that you want to see done or that you appreciate them having done in the past. So if they can only do one thing, it's going to be their timesheet. It's that. I use this a lot. I say this a lot at our conferences. It's a self-licking ice cream cone. The fact that you're giving a bunch of positive feedback means now there are expectations set. They know what you expect. They know what you like. They know what you appreciate. They know what, if there's only 5 minutes left in their day, is the thing to focus on, because that's the thing that you've told them has got the highest degree of value associated with it. It's that. Less need for negative feedback through positive feedback.
Yeah. If they're doing all of the things that you've given them positive feedback about, that's the way I think of it sometimes.
Yeah.
If they're doing all the things that you've given them positive input about, positive feedback about, there's very little time left for negative behaviors. Yeah.
They're too busy to do negative stuff.
Yeah. Sometimes at the very end of the day when I'm really tired and there's still a lot to do and I need to leave my desk because, you know, I've fumbled the last three things or whatever, I think of that, and it's a very old quote, sufficient unto the day is the evil, if you continue. But sometimes I think to myself, sufficient unto the day. And, you know, if you're spending your day focusing on the things that you've gotten positive input about, maybe there's less time for those less helpful behaviors.
Exactly.
And we've said that we've been talking about behaviors for so long. It's a little bit of academic creep in that we talk so much about behaviors that we haven't really educated people who may not have been listening for a while. Mm-hmm. And so it's incumbent upon us to mention that feedback is best when it's about behavior.
Yes, absolutely. It shouldn't be about beliefs or attitudes or mindset or intent or motivations or emotions. Feedback is not about our impression of what happened. Believe it or not, your organization doesn't care about mindset or intent or motivation or emotion or the impressions that you personally have of things. It doesn't matter. What your organization cares about, and remember, to your direct, you represent, you are the organization. What your organization wants is behaviors. What matters to the organization is what people do. And if one of your directs cares deeply about his work while missing every single deadline he's got and says that he cares so much about other people but has just a lousy relationship with everyone else on the team, are we going to promote him because he cares so much and he just, the organization and the other people are so important? No. We're going to hold him accountable for his failures.
Yeah. And just not give
intent
him.
Intent isn't a thing.
Yeah. You can be intentional all day long in your brain, but intentional in your brain does not do us any good.
It doesn't do us any
good. Okay. So the key, I think, here is to stop trying to guess at why your directs do what they do. And y'all, if you're anything like me, this will save you so much.
So much time.
So much effort. And energy.
So much energy.
Do not think you're ever going to swim upstream into their brains and figure out what's wrong and then fix it and then have a great behavior flow downstream afterwards. You're not a psychologist. There's a cast for that. You can't do it. And you don't have to. All you have to care about is behavior. And your directs, maybe they don't love it.
Yeah, no, this is a very different mindset for many people. That is, most people think that their intents are enough. They think what they intended, what they hoped to see happen, what they wanted to have happen, or the reasons they've done something matter. Like, that should be enough, but it's not. So, what is behavior? Behavior exists or encompasses these five things. Mm-hmm. They're the words people say, how people say them, facial expressions, their work product, and their body language. Now, when we say work product consists of the quantity, quality, accuracy, timeliness, documentation, and in some cases, safety.
Yeah, like hard hats and stuff.
Yeah, hard hats and stuff. Steel-toed boots of the work that they do.
And y'all, we're not going to focus heavily on safety because safety is usually involved in workplaces that aren't remote.
Yeah, exactly. So. And many managers forget about the work product piece, but no, don't forget about the work product piece.
Especially when you're remote.
Especially when you're remote. I was going to say, that'll really trip you up when you're remote, because mm-hmm. that's what I hear, right? Well, I barely see them. I barely in meetings. I don't hear what they say. I don't see what they do because I'm not there to see their face, for example. Work right. product is going to become a much, much larger, a heavier focus when we're a remote manager.
Yeah. And essentially what we're asking is, does your direct meet standards?
Yeah.
Do they do enough of their work? Is their work correct? Is it done in a timely way? Are their emails and plans and reports and other writings effective and efficient and useful? Do yeah. they answer their emails? We could go a step further. It's not a debate between you and your directs about what the standards are. As a manager representing the company, you set the standards for their behavior.
Yeah. You are the company to your directs.
And if you don't think that that is true, I am so sorry to say to you that it is true, and you either accept it now or you'll have to accept it later.
Yeah.
Y'all, as a person who has been through that mind shift twice and once fairly recently, this may be your sign to accept it. You represent the company, and that means you set the standards. If you want to give negative feedback to one of your directs because her emails are always too long, her saying that's how I write is not a defense.
No.
It doesn't matter how a direct no. does things. It matters whether or not they meet the standards. And right. you set the standards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
That's where we're at, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
You get to decide. You are the yeah. arbiter.
You are the arbiter.
And man, I have a friend who keeps talking about wanting to be a manager. And I don't.
Yeah.
I think to myself, man, you don't.
Yeah.
I understand wanting to. I'm not suggesting that that's, yeah,
I don't
that's
think not you know good, what you're asking yeah, for.
Yeah. I hear the other things that they say. And I remember, you know, somebody said to me pretty recently, somebody said, I just thought it would be different. And I said, yeah, that sounds right. Like, you know, oh, I didn't know it would be like this. Yeah. This is how it is.
Yeah. This is how it is.
Okay. So addressing this remotely is the real challenge.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Remote feedback. The problem that you have with remote feedback isn't distance. It's behavior.
You're absolutely right. You got to change some things. The big problem with remote feedback isn't opportunity, as we hope we're showing in this guidance. We've yeah. provided multiple examples of numerous opportunities for the delivery of feedback, even when you're not face-to-face with that person.
Mm-hmm.
Most managers, though, they think that distance is the problem, right? Is the difficulty they're having because they're applying all of the wrong ideas about performance communications. That is, waiting for a pattern, waiting to have a conversation, looking for something big, positive or negative, or making negative feedback into a punishment or a dressing down mm-hmm. in the situation. If that's how you're thinking about feedback, then you're right. Remote feedback is much harder because sure. you've got to see it happen multiple times. It's got to be big enough, a big enough deal for you to have a dressing down, all of those things. But when it's small, when it's manager tools feedback, these problems no longer exist. The problem with giving feedback to remote workers is most managers are now significantly less likely to know what their behavior is. And
right, what their direct behavior is. Yeah.
What their direct behavior is. Yes. And so in turn, we blame it on the distance. Now, the distance is part of it, but it's not as relevant as we give credit to it for being at all.
Yeah. I think it seems so obvious that it becomes the obvious answer to why.
Yeah.
When in fact, we see this in co-located spaces as well. Yeah. And clearly, if we are co-located to our directs, we're going to have more chances to observe the first four types of behavior, you know, the words you say, how you say them, facial expression, and body language. But going from in-person to Zoom doesn't cut us off completely from those things. Sure, it does cut down on body language input a bit because you really can only see like a part of a person's torso, essentially, like head to, you know, top of the torso to, it's not, it's like small. So sure, a little less body language. On the other hand, you can give negative feedback if someone doesn't have their video on frequently enough, because then you have less ability to assess their body language. And some organizations have put out policies saying you can have your video off. And of course, then too many managers have mistakenly concluded that that allows any of our directs a blanket policy of no video. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny.
Which is not true.
It's definitely not. And you still can see body language. If you're listening and you think that you can't see body language on Zoom, I got to tell you, I see, we see more people on Zoom than 99% of the people who are listening. I can tell you if you are multitasking on Zoom. I mean, I can see you.
Oh, absolutely. Right? Like,
but just as like a PSA, y'all.
Eyes if you wear darting glasses, around the screen.
Oh my gosh. If you wear glasses, I can read your email in your glasses. So just like as a heads up, PSA.
Yeah, feedback. Let's do an example, Kate. I'll deliver to you.
Okay.
A piece of feedback about not having videos on.
Right. Because video on is an opportunity for us. So we want that. And here we go.
All right. Can I give some feedback?
Yes.
When you turn your video off during a team meeting, I can't assess your responses to others' comments and you become separated from the group. Can you work on that, please?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was pretty easy.
Okay. So your gut instincts, y'all, on remoteness and that reducing your ability to give feedback on the first four components of behavior, words you say, how you say them, facial expression, body language, that's correct. And the real lesson of remote feedback is this. We need to lean more heavily on the work product part of behaviors, quality, quantity, accuracy, timeliness, and documentation. And that, unfortunately, is a serious problem for a lot of us as managers. First, because we've focused on the first four components up till now. And second, because we don't have visibility into a great deal of our direct's work, whether they're remote or not.
Yeah, exactly.
In a co-located environment, people have filled in the gap around what we should be focusing on, which is work product, with, you know, the first four components. And so you can get to that large amount of feedback. And that's not what we're going to do here. Instead, we're going to focus on work product, which is good news, y'all, because it's honestly, in my experience, you get less pushback when you focus on work product feedback.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't feel as much of a
personal.
Well, right. It's not as personal. It's not as about them as a person. Now, let's be clear. Behavioral feedback isn't about them as a person, but work product kind of feedback is received
differently.
More positively.
Yeah, they just feel different about it. Yeah.
They just feel different about it. Less pushback.
Hey, folks. Time is ticking down on the M Conference, October 26th and 27th in Chicago, the highlight of our year. And I often don't talk about the benefits you get with the M Conference, that you get a 5-year license. So that's $1,000 worth of value, which cuts in pretty nicely against the $3,000 cost to attend the conference. And a license gets you access to executive tools. It also gets you roadmap. It gets you the interview creation tool, which is probably the most unheralded product we have. As well, of course, everybody probably knows the interviewing series, effective feedback, resume workbook, first job fundamentals, and access to Kate and Sarah and I. It's an outstanding event. And what we're told from attendees, previous attendees, is the best thing about it is the network. The Slack channel we have going is pretty active, and fellow executives are asking each other for help and encouragement, and it makes it feel like a community around here, which is pretty great. So come to the M Conference, October 26th and 27th in Chicago.
Based on the 25 years that Manager Tools has combined, 25 years, I should say, Manager Tools and its predecessor, Horseman and Company, have been operating remotely and using input filed since COVID, we have some recommendations about how to increase the amount of work product data you can see to be able to then give feedback on. So, first, ask during one-on-ones what your directs are working on today and this week. Mm-hmm. So, in your part of the one-on-one, you get to go first. Hey, so what are you working on today and this week? Frequently, you'll find that your folks are misaligned with what they're working on and your priorities. And when it happens, it's time for negative feedback. And when it doesn't happen, right, when they're perfectly aligned with your priorities, it's time for positive feedback.
Yes.
Also, to follow that through, having, let's say we asked that this week in our one-on-one, in next week, the following week's one-on-ones, check on what they said they were working on, right? This week, previous week, we asked them, what are you working on today and this week? And then we're going to follow up on what they're working on. Mm-hmm. If they haven't accomplished what they said they were working on last week, and you believe that it was reasonable to expect they should have accomplished it, probe for understanding or give them negative feedback. And again, if they did do it as they said they would, give them positive feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, my favorite though is learning to assign deliverables and not tasks.
Yes, absolutely.
We think of deliverables and the massive superiority they have to tasks to be one of the most important contributions to the world that MT has ever
absolutely
provided. The difference is between a task and deliverable that a task would be create a 5-slide decision brief on your vendor recommendation. That's a task. If you make that into a deliverable, it sounds like this. Send me a 5-slide decision brief on your vendor recommendation by COB Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Deliverables have clear deadlines. Tasks do too. And a lot of managers forget that. And deliverables include with the core task, the reporting of the status of the task with the task itself.
Mm-hmm.
With a deliverable, y'all, you never have to wonder if something is done. Because if you haven't gotten it, it's not done because you asked them to send it to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the sending reporting function with the task itself is so powerful.
Yeah. No more chasing people around. Hey, did you do this? Did you do this? Did you do this? Did you work on this? Where are we on that? It's active communication on their part, letting you know. Because again, to Kate's point, if you've not got the communication, it's not done.
Yeah.
Letting you know constantly exactly where all of the tasks are at. Saves so much time.
It does. And it, so much of the work that people do is consumed by other people. And if you have to consume work that someone else is completing and it gets done early and you don't know that it's done because you didn't assign it as a deliverable, it languishes. There's a gap in productivity between the time when something is done and the time when it is consumed by the next person. And a deliverable can reduce that gap. Also, switching to deliverables from tasks gives you more quality, quantity, and accuracy and timeliness behavioral data on your directs.
More things to give feedback on.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so deliverables, not tasks. Good. Also,
ask your directs to copy you on certain emails they send, or if you prefer, depending on the mail itself, to whom it's going, to BCC you. Right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Line copy you on it, which allows you to see that one, the mail has been sent. So that speaks to timeliness, right? And for you to assess the words used, the tone chosen, word choices, timeliness. And before you start screaming micromanagement.
Oh, that's so cute.
I know, right? Again, remember the middleman test. If your boss asked you every once in a while to copy her on a mail you sent, would that be micromanaging?
No.
No. It's communicating.
I copy people all the time.
Yeah. Just FYI. Just a hey, heads up.
So much easier. It's so much more efficient. Oh my gosh. Honestly, the idea that copying people is micromanagement makes me cringe because I just have so much more information if I'm copied on more emails. Now, I will say this. some places there's too much of the whole copying and the whatever.
Don't disagree.
But especially if it's an external email and I'm copied, then I know that someone was emailed. I love it. It's not micromanagement. Also, and because they exist and because they're at your disposal, well, maybe they don't exist. So create, we'll start there. Create public, y'all, real-time work and project tasking, tracking, monitoring websites and review them publicly.
Absolutely.
There's all kinds of vendors for these types of tools. You can make yourself one using our Cypress model for free in like an hour or two.
We have a podcast on it.
Yes.
Search Cypress in the search bar. I'm sure that podcast will come up. We have a whole podcast and a spreadsheet on it, like an organizational management system that's like a project tracking-esque kind of sheet, which can totally support you if you're looking at setting one of these up.
Yeah. And if you love spreadsheets, it's like mecca. Although careful you don't go down the rabbit hole because there is a little bit of work out front, up front. And it has massive benefits. Public visual reporting of deliverables, not tasks, is one of the least appreciated tools available to all managers. If work on something, for example, is going to take longer than 2 weeks and involves more than one person, it pays to break that down into daily tasks.
Yeah.
Sure. Some of your directs will be annoyed. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're not co-located and we don't know what their daily tasks are, why would any of us be surprised if someone reports that their month-long project is a month behind?
Right.
I mean, I don't understand. I personally, I love a daily task list. I have a daily task list for myself. It's my favorite thing.
Me too.
So I'm not upset by it because then it just gets it out of my head. It's like, oh, here's a list of things that have to get done and it's over there and I don't have to think about it. I can just check the sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Public visual reporting done that way with each deliverable assigned to an individual, requiring the task owner to update the status of the deliverable themselves with the status like green, amber, red, based on published due dates and, you know, automatically updating in the sheet kind of thing allows you to massively increase your view into the work product behaviors of your team.
Absolutely.
And listen, if it's worth tracking it, then it's worth meeting on and reviewing it.
Absolutely.
That's one way to get more data for your feedbacks.
For your feedbacks, exactly. And finally, ask your directs what they want feedback on.
Ooh, this is a tricky, good one.
I know, and it's so simple as to be completely confusing. You'll be surprised when you ask your directs, hey, what would you like more feedback on? What they tell you, what you learn will surprise you. Just their interest will help you focus your attention, right? Make clear that what they want is exclusive. That is, you can still give feedback, positive and negative, on the other stuff you hear and see and notice. You're not going to only be giving feedback on that single thing, but think about that when you go into those situations. And you'll definitely want to give negative feedback to the direct who says they don't want any feedback.
Yeah. We're not trying to be funny or like snide, y'all.
Right.
And receiving feedback is just as much a part of their job as it is a part of your job to give it. So if a direct says, if you say, hey, what kind of stuff do you want feedback on? They say, oh, I don't want feedback. Well,
okay. Well, I don't want to grow at all and improve at all. I'm just like riding it out, collecting a paycheck. Thank you.
Especially if you think about it from what we mentioned earlier about feedback being encouragement, that's a professionally immature stance to take.
It absolutely is. Which reminds me, we are going to have briefed feedback in advance of this, and we're going to have told them. It's all about encouragement. It's about positive future behavior. So in turn, them saying, I don't want any, after you've briefed the fact that this is a tool to help them grow, to give them more information to do their job better, because we want to make sure we give them the comms they need to be excellent, them then saying, I don't want any feedback.
Yeah.
They might need some feedback.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You know, remote directs make feedback harder and not in the way that most of us fear.
No.
The key is to focus more on work product and put in place systems that allow you to give feedback.
You bet.
It is absolutely our job.
It is absolutely our job. That does not change, regardless of where we're sitting.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Kate.
Thanks, y'all. We'll be back next week with a new topic.